Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
dead. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, on this program, I guess I forgot. If this is your first time here, this is our weekly news wrap-up show where you can get just a week worth of information in just one setting. So I want to welcome you on to the show. And if you need to call in, if you're joining us live, this area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. So, on that note, I guess we'll get started into the... before, I always forget this as well. If you have not heard the show and you want to check us out in the archives, you know, you can check out Esprit.net News at soulofsyracuse.com. That's esprit.net news.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, on this program, former U.S. national champion gymnast Maddie Larson says that she injured her head on purpose to avoid being sent to training with named Larry Nassar. And he's the USA gymnastic physician. NBA star LeBron James hit the $30,000 point club. He hit that milestone. And there are plans to relaunch the XFL 2 decades or 17 years after that pro football league went out of business. And the world's wealthiest become $1 trillion richer in 2017. We have that this week in court and much more, but I want to welcome you on to the show. Welcome again on to Esprit.net News. You know, that just seemed like that was just a lot for me. It took a lot of energy for me to do that. By the way, and thanks for everyone who hung in there, the well wishes and stuff. I was a little under the weather, so, you know, we're back. Now, massive magnitude 7.9 quake off of Alaska this week caused water levels to change in wells 3,800 miles away in Florida, is what experts revealed. The U.S. Geological Survey has revealed that two of its Florida wells detected changes by that earthquake despite it being the epicenter being 3,800 miles away. So, again, I guess apparently we are all connected. And you know, there was tsunami warnings up and down the West Coast when it happened last week. But, you know, we're all connected. Now, a Utah State University student was taken to a local hospital Saturday after she swallowed a Tide Pod. The school officials insist the incident was not a part of the social media craze of that Tide Pod challenge. Now, I don't know what that is, but you got to be pretty doggone dumb to drink, to swallow a harsh chemical. That's all I want to say. We can't even act like this is a crisis if you're dumb for, you know, eating laundry detergent. Okay, that's all I want to say about that. Now, a Republican congressman is removed from the House Ethics Committee following reports that he settled a former aide's sexual harassment claim with taxpayer money. Now, Patrick Mahan, a Republican from Pennsylvania, was a leader in the fight against harassment in Congress, was removed from the Ethics Committee after reporting that he settled his staffer's harassment claim. Now, get this. You know, as a Republican, again, he did not resign from Congress. He just resigned from his committee. Republicans are gangsters. And by the way, if somebody sees Al Franken, tell him to run for reelection, because this don't make any kind of sense. People know what happened. He should be able to run with a clean slate now. Al Franken, 2018. All right. Now, there was no blackmail. There was no evidence, according to Missouri's governor. He admitted to having an affair, but denied claims that he threatened and slapped his mistress. So, you know, the Republican, 43 is all he is. He was in his first interview last week. He acknowledged the affair and denies the reports that he blackmailed and threatened his former mistress. Okay. On that note, I just want to let you know. You're listening to Esprinet News. We are going to go to the phone lines and bring in the commish. Commish, I tried to give you a little bit of time before I brought you in. I did see you on. So,
hey,
I'm glad you're here. Good.
How
are you?
Me too. Thank you for bringing me on. I certainly missed the text.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure since the text, you know, I sent it, and you know what happens? I guess that text delayed on my end because it's happened before. It actually kicks back to me and says, oh, no, we didn't send it. So I said, I got a trick for that whole text delay thing. So it's out there. We'll see when you get it. Just let me know on the show when you actually get the text, because it's going to be there some place. All right. Cybersecurity technology firm that produces the Kaspersky Labs, that's based in Moscow. You know, I used to have that software, the Kaspersky software, years ago. They are saying since the software is installed in computers all across the world, in financial sectors and energy sectors, it was really good antivirus software. Apparently, the Russian Secret Service has now taken control of the company. So after Kaspersky Labs, I guess the founder's son was arrested or something, the government came in and took over the company.
Wow.
Let the hacking begin. I mean, they've already started. So last year, year before last, I think the Obama administration made sure that no government computers had any of that antivirus software in there, because they knew it was a bug in it that allowed people to get into your computer.
I've heard a Rachel report on that, actually.
Yes. So I guess the UK now is their turn. So the UK is saying that they have a widespread use of Kaspersky's antivirus, and they're trying to get the government to stop using it. Again, we stopped. Well, who knows if Trump actually brought it back, but that's a whole nother story.
I'm glad you said that, because after the – did you say this? I don't know that I heard you say this. After the Obama administration fired Michael Flynn, he went to go work for them.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's heating up. I'm sure we have a little bit. Oh, speaking of Russian news, a number of Russian nationals with ties to Vladimir Putin were in attendance at Trump's inauguration last year, and the FBI reportedly is trying to figure out why. But we know why they were there. That's a whole other story. But apparently the Russians have, they're very fond of the Trump folks. They haven't really said why yet. I'm sure it'll come out in a second. Donald Trump reportedly ordered the firing of special counsel Robert Mueller last June, but was persuaded against it after the White House counsel threatened to resign. That's according to the New York Times today. The Times cited four people familiar with the matter, said that President ordered White House counsel Don McGahn to fire Mueller, who was investigating the Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, including possible contact with Trump's campaign. So McCann refused and said that he resigned before carrying out the directive, and they pulled back. So today, of course, they're showing a bunch of clips from July and one of August of Donald Trump lying, said, no, no, I never considered firing Mueller, you know, because now they can look in retrospect to say, here's all the stuff that happened around that time. But apparently that's not the first time he tried to fire Mueller. So we're going to see how this is going to go. And Don McGahn has already been interviewed by Mueller, so I'm sure that came out a while ago. Interesting times. And
who was it? You said Don McGahn? Who's that?
He's the White House counsel.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. I barely listen to his name pronounced. I'm always reading it. But yes, okay.
Yeah. Now, Don McGahn, the White House counsel represents the office of the president, so it represents the people, and it's not the president's personal attorney. So I think that's where most people are figuring, wait a minute, how come he just didn't cover that up? But Don McGahn's not obligated to cover up any crimes or anything from the president. And the president, you know, he is just not learning. Like, that is the most, that's the funniest thing to me of everything, is that he has no concept, nor does he probably care, of concept about what is independent of his power as president. I think he thinks president is really pretty much a dictatorship. That's really hard to pull off in the U.S., but I mean, he's doing a good job of manipulating Congress quite a bit. But,
he certainly
but,
is.
Hey, but I tell you this, them fools are not going to go to jail. Now, say what you want about rich folks, but they're not going to go to jail. They're not going to voluntarily lie up under oath, you know, just to get thrown in jail. Because you can go, you know, when you go to jail. No, 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 no. We don't know that because the special counsel is pretty tight-lipped. They're lying on TV, but I think going to jail under oath is a whole nother ballgame. It'll be funny to see, though, because you're going to see them jump ship. There is no way. I guarantee you there is no way that they're going to no, any of those guys are going to want to go to jail for him. Because he's really not going to be able to pardon them out of it. You know, Oliver North was pardoned, no doubt, during the Reagan time. And G. Gordon Liddy for Watergate and all of those guys, they got out. But that's because once everybody else started going down, there was a couple of people who missed the net, but a lot of people went to jail. Nobody wants to be the first one in jail, I think is the point.
Okay.
So, you never know how that's going to go down. Now, I don't know why I have some reservation at seeing porn star. I don't know why I just don't like that. But this person, Stormy Daniels, I forgot her real name. I did have it. But she kicked off some tour with some striptease doing the, I guess, the anniversary of the inauguration. And the 39-year-old entertainer is making the most of their exposure. I guess the story is that Trump paid her $130,000 to keep silent about their fling before the election. And she's now doing interviews, but she's still saying, you know, she's still remaining tight-lipped is what they're saying about if it happened or not. But she kicked off her strip tour of calling it Make America Something Again.
Oh.
So she's playing it. Yeah. So she's playing it up at the same time she's acting like she, hey, I guess hookers got to make money too. That's all I'm going to say about that. But
well,
she
they
just
didn't say she was a hooker. They said she was a stripper.
No, she's a porn star, which means that people pay her to have sex with her.
On TV.
So I guess I can't call her a call girl. I don't know the definition of a hooker then, but she did get paid for sex. And now she's a stripper. And
oh,
I don't know anything about her getting...
I thought she was a stripper, too. Yes, yeah, she's a former porn star.
Yeah, maybe she don't make movies anymore. But, yeah, they said that she has a striptease now. But she's an adult actress.
Yeah, I think she had to sign a confidentiality agreement.
To,
for the $130,000 that she received to not talk about that.
Right, but one of her friends who was interviewed, another adult actress, that's what I'll use, another adult actress who was called by her when she was with Trump, called her to go over with her, and she said no because she was scared about rich men. She said they just kind of terrified her, you know, because they'll probably have something happen to you and never find you kind of thing. So she said she wouldn't go, but she said yes. She went on the record by saying that she was invited, and she quoted Donald Trump saying that he said this in the background and he told her to come, it'll be fun, that kind of stuff. So this is not reported by her about a friend of her who was also involved but did not go to the didn't go to the party that they were having at one of Trump's Trump's homes. And the alleged what'd you say?
I said, yeah, because she said that they told her that it was a party, but she realized that it was just him and her. I actually watched that interview that you're referring to. And and it was the first time I ever watched Megyn Kelly. First time ever. But she interviewed her, and I watched that particular interview.
Now, speaking of Megyn Kelly, I will, but here's the thing about Megyn Kelly. Nobody should be watching Megyn Kelly. But apparently NBC staff is in a panic because she's been assigned the State of the Union address coming up next week, and a lot of people at NBC staff does not want to go with her. Now,
Kelly?
The interesting – huh?
Megyn Kelly?
With Megyn Kelly.
Okay.
See, this, again, it says something about NBC on how conservative they are up under the surface. So although they have, MSNBC and you have all these other guys who work for the network, Megyn Kelly is so conservative that they are the people at the network are encouraging her to be conservative on NBC, but the staff and employees know that that whole lying thing that they do at Fox is going to mess up their credibility in their own resumes. So they don't want any part of it, which is interesting, right? It's like, I don't know why people who work at Fox think that that's a badge of honor. So when they want to go work someplace else, it's probably not going to help them. So the people at NBC are like, hey, wait a minute. So I got to admit that I work with Megyn Kelly now? Come on, man. Come on, Chris. Yeah. Now, the Guggenheim Museum has reportedly turned down the White House request to borrow a Van Gogh painting and has instead offered the White House the use of a golden toilet. Now, it's a fully functioning toilet titled America.
That's cool.
It was installed at the Guggenheim in September 2016, and it was available for public use, and tens of thousands of people obliged But the exhibit is over, and they actually offered it, that toilet, to potentially serve in the White House. Now, the display as art goes like this. The gold toilet, which it actually is gold, is an exhibit that shows the obsessiveness of wealth and, I guess metaphorically, it's, I'm only kind of laughing about this because it shows how crappy we are as wealthy people. You know what I mean? Like, it's symbolic of wealthy people. And they offer that to the Trump administration as something that
I
they can use
from
the Guggenheim.
I thought that was pretty good, though. You know, I did.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, because I, when you said the golden toilet, I was like, oh, for his golden showers. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it all matched the decor. Yeah.
It lines right up. I'm sure somebody had that in their mind when they offered that to the White House.
Yeah,
you really
I'm actually impressed.
The president a used toilet, a used toilet that had been used by public, the public. Oh yeah, I'm loving it.
No.
Did they take it?
Yeah, I was like, no, but I am. Well, I'm not saying that they won't. I was just thinking that I'm amazed because I'm sure they wouldn't just change the plumbing in the White House for that, right? They wanted to display artwork, so they're like, hey, you can display this gold toilet.
Oh,
you can display that. Yeah, so that's all they were doing. They were just displaying artwork. They weren't using it to actually use it as a fixture in the White House. You know, yeah.
But that would cause all kinds of funny.
Yeah.
People would
it,
be split their sides in there over that.
I have so many jokes there, I just do not want to do it today. There are so many. Boy, lucky I don't drink, because technically I could go a mile on this one. All right, the Weather Channel, their Weather Channel's co-founder, who called global warming a hoax, has died at the age of 83. Now, John Coleman died Saturday in his home in Las Vegas at the age of 83. Now, he used to be Good Morning America's original meteorologist. Never heard of him, John Coleman. But he actually co-founded the Weather Channel.
Oh, boy.
And he's pretty crazy. All right, now, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on Monday ruled that the state's congressional map went too far to benefit Republicans, that it violated the state constitution, and justices gave GOP lawmakers until February 9th to submit a new map and gave Governor Tim Wolf until February 15th to approve it. Should the parties fail to reach an agreement on the plan, the justices said the court would move quickly on its own to develop a constitutional congressional map. The court said the new map could be expected by February 19th. The justice indicated the state's congressional primary on May 15th would proceed as scheduled, and Republicans controlled the redistricting process in 2010 and drew the maps that gave them considerable advantages in 2012, 14, and 16. So they won 13 of the state's 18 congressional seats, despite winning only 50% of the vote. But they win 13 out of 18 seats. It was rigged. So, they're about to get redrawn. So, we're going to see how this pans out. But, hey, they don't do it by the 19th. The court said expect one by the if they don't do it by the 9th, the courts will finish by the 19th. All right, like so many other in the United States gymnasts, Maddie Larson bravely took a stand on the sixth day of the ex-USA gymnast Dr. Larry Nassar's sentencing for alleged criminal sexual conduct. Now, Maddie, who is now 25 years old, said she began seeing Dr. Nassar when she was 14 years old. At each appointment, she claimed that he put his fingers, regardless of her injury. I'm not going to go too much farther than that. It just, she said it got so bad that Maddie said that she purposely hit her head in the bathtub so she wouldn't have to continue training at the Caroli Ranch at USA Gymnastic Training Center, where Nazar allegedly abused hundreds of gymnasts. She said, "I cannot put it into words how much I effing hate you," is what she said in her testimony. She also urged House Speaker Paul Ryan to pass a bill that would allow young athletes to report abuse allegations to independent organizations to avoid potential conflicts of interest with their sport directly. So Maddie, if you don't know her, competed at a senior elite level in 2008 and 2010. She was the U.S. national champ for floor exercise in 2010 and competed in an artistic style of gymnastics. Now, Maddie actually was supposed to compete in her first national championship in 2006, but she was sidelined with an injury. She qualified for the national championships in 2007. She was named a member of the national team that year. She also made the national team again in 2008 after finishing all around in her first senior nationals. But she had an injury that kept her out of the 2009 championships, but returned one last time in 2010, where she won the gold on the floor exercise, silver for all around, and bronze uneven bars. But after her gymnastics career, she did attend UCLA, and she competed for them for 2 years. And she recently retired, they said, from acting. I didn't know she was acting. She's only 25. I don't know why she's retired from acting. So before I go on anymore with her, I wasn't sure if you were familiar with the story of Maddie Larson. But I remember that little girl, and she was phenomenal. She missed the Olympic team in 2008. This is before Gabby Douglas's first one in, 2012. Yeah. So it was, I can't remember the little girls who were on the team then, but there was nobody of color at that particular 2008 Olympics. Nobody. But Maddie Larson was pretty much one of the best ones there. And I think she got hurt. Yeah. And one of the things about her too, Allie Rasmussen, who was, I think she was on the team, she sent her a message of support, and she said, "I want you to know that I've never thought you cost the team a gold medal," because people were starting to dog her out after a while. She said, Everyone don't forget the team qualified third into the finals, and USAG Forever, that's the USA Gymnastics, Forever has manipulated us to feel guilty and worthless when we didn't win gold medals. That time is over. In the finals, we finished behind gold by 0.2. This is when Allie Rasmussen says, "I almost fell off the beam and deducted far more than 0.2, whose 0.2 could have been come from any one of us, including me." And so Maddie did not lose anything for them, but they were extremely hard on this girl. Now, not only was she being abused by the doctor, the coaches was abusing her, because one of the coaches had a daughter that was on the team. And so they were really hard on her. And one of the Carolis, I forgot the wife's name, not Bella, but his wife, she was hard on Maddie when she got hurt, because she said, "Well, other people got hurt, but they showed up." So, you know, the abuse that those girls have to take from those wicked people, I think they need to start bringing charges against them as well, because they're treating these little girls like crud, and especially looks like to me the little girls of color is faring worse than everybody else. But anyway, Allie Rasmussen just said, "Maddie, please don't ever forget that when when I was young, you were my favorite gymnast on the floor. You inspired me, and you still do to this day. And I know so many others are inspired by your iconic four-level routines and your bravery in speaking out. You're a true role model, and that's far more valuable than any medal. But so shout out to her. And she said, I'm so proud of you, and I stand behind you. So other people like Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles were also assaulted by that same guy. But I wanted to really take time to do that story because
did anybody talk about whether or not the young women told each other, you know, and like encouraged them to stay away from him or anything like that?
They couldn't tell him to stay away from him. He was the only physician that they had, and if they wanted to compete in gymnastics, they dealt with it. And I guess that's the biggest part of the scandal is that I think Maddie Larson, again, she hurt herself to get out of that situation on purpose. So for nobody to notice, USA Gymnastics actually came out and said that they felt like they failed those girls. Of course, if 163 girls are complaining that they were sexually assaulted, of course you failed them. So technically, they should be in a big lawsuit, all of those girls, and their parents should bankrupt them.
Yes, I agree.
To say the least.
All the way to the university.
All the way to the University of Michigan.
Michigan, because they made a ton of money off of those young ladies.
Yep, they sure did.
A ton, including that doctor. And I didn't hear anybody mention anything about taking money from him. I know this was a criminal case, but where is the civil case? And where are the damages that they're getting as a result of this? I didn't hear anything about that.
No. Nope. USA Gymnastics is trying to settle, you know, kind of undercover so that they don't know what's going on with the damage. Like, nobody knows what's going on with the damages.
Well, the
I think they're just trying to settle.
Settlement undercover is over.
Yeah.
they need to settle out loud. That's what they need to do. Settle right out loud. And like, look.
Well, actually, it isn't because it was, I guess, Kayla Maroney, who I guess won $2 million from them, and she has a non-disclosure agreement, and she could not speak at the trial because USA Gymnastics, she didn't want to, I think they would have fined her something like $10,000 or something if she spoke.
And she got $2
million?
So I was like, write the check. Yeah.
Say it again. They did what?
I would be like, oh, just come on in. I'll have you check at the hearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She got $2 million. I would have wrote that $10,000 check.
$10,000? Are you kidding me?
No, but she sent her attorney. Her attorney read a statement on her behalf.
Okay.
She just didn't make their appearance. I know. It's the world we live in. Now, Tiffany Haddish.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Go to something a little lighter.
Yeah.
Has now we all remember the story. If you don't, just look it up online of her talking about during the shooting the movie Girls Trip. She took her Groupon and bought some tickets to a swamp tour for Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. Do you remember that story that she told? Well, Tiffany Haddish is now a spokesperson for Groupon.
So they released
their official Super Bowl commercial featuring Tiffany Haddish. The ad comes just a week after. I mean, just a week after they named her their spokesperson, and they actually have the commercial shot already. So Tiffany Haddish,
it is hilarious.
Tiffany Haddish is hilarious, and also, you know, with the whole Netflix issue, what was going on with Monique, and, you know, those guys not paying women what they should, or anybody what they should, apparently. You know, Tiffany Haddish just signed a deal with HBO.
Yes, I
heard
that.
So take that for. Huh?
I heard that this morning, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, while Netflix is lowballing everybody under $500,000, apparently, Tiffany Haddish has just taken the show to HBO. So there you go, Tiff. And shout out to her. You know, but I didn't realize.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you wanted to say what?
I wanted to say that I heard Wanda Sykes interview this morning on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and they asked her about that because they were saying that, you know, that Netflix offered Monique $500,000 for a show, but they offered Wanda Sykes $250,000. So, mm-hmm. You know, they were talking about Monique asking people to boycott Netflix. And so Wanda's opinion was she's not boycotting Netflix, and she didn't say anything about whether or not anybody else should. But she did say two things that I thought was very important. She said she was glad that Monique started the conversation because it was so important for everyone to hear how Netflix is not only treating women, because I think they were paying they talked about Dave Chappelle getting a $10 million, but there was also a white woman who was offered a significant, you know, number of millions of dollars also to do her show.
Amy Schumer.
Right.
Yes.
Amy Schumer. So Wanda said when she heard Netflix offer, she was asking her agent, well, did they forget a couple of zeros? Like, did they just forget to add those zeros in there? This couldn't be the offer. So she said, listen, when they did that to me, I just went ahead and took it over to FX, and FX gave her an incredible deal. And she said her show on FX was one of the top leading shows on that station. So she said, you know, whatever they talked about the algorithm that Netflix uses to come up with this money, and they say basically it's based on social media and some other kind of garbage. But I think the interviewers on the Tom Joyner Morning Show were, oh my God, the two women,
Cheryl Underwood.
Not Underwood. She's with Steve Harvey. The one that was on The View. I'm a little tired, so please forgive me, audience.
Oh, Sherry Shepherd? I didn't know she
Sherry
was on Tom Joyner.
Sherry Shepherd.
Sybil?
The other one,
Sybil Wilkes is there?
Yeah, Sybil Wilkes is one of the co-hosts of the show. But Sherry Shepherd and the other sister, who is also a stand-up, and she's on a million shows. I'll go just look her up while I'm talking with you. But they're on there weekly. And this, the other sister that you'll know exactly who I'm talking about, but she's really good friends with Omarosa. As a matter of fact, that's probably why I can't remember her name. But anyway, they all talk about the, you know, what they are often paid and so on and so forth. And they were saying, listen, women need to talk more about what they're being paid by these networks and in these movies and so forth, so that it will expose the people who are, you know, making these offers, and maybe and hopefully change it. So Wanda was saying, while I'm not boycotting Netflix, I am really glad that Monique opened this dialogue so people can really take a look at this.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Kim Whitley.
Oh, Kim Whitley. No,
yeah,
Kim Whitley was friends with Omarosa. Not that.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, Sherry Shepherd are on.
Huh. Okay.
So, yeah, if you get an opportunity, anybody's listening, getting an opportunity, you can listen to Wanda's interview on the Black America Web website. It was a really good interview.
Yeah. Well, I guess everybody has their own opinion. Can't really comment on those. That's not my, I guess, profession. But I didn't realize that Monique was one of the most decorated comedians. Like, I think in comparison, I think for awards, Monique has something like 60-something nominations for awards or something. Or, I'm sorry, 81. Whoopi Goldberg has like 87. But Monique has won 67, and Whoopi Goldberg has only won someplace in the 40s.
Uh-huh.
She's won more awards than Eddie Murphy, than Dave Chappelle, than Chris Rock, and Whoopi Goldberg. Monique has in the comedy world. I thought that was. Uh-huh. I was looking at those numbers today, and those numbers are crazy. That she's actually gotten that many awards for comedy over her career.
Uh-huh.
But they're amazing numbers. So she is the most decorated as far as big-time comedians go. But, you know, regardless on what your taste is in comedy, she does make a point that she's getting lowballed in her numbers. So I don't like when people, you know, get on her by saying, oh, well, you know, she can't complain because you can't compare her to Chris Rock or whatever. That's just stupid. Like, she definitely has more awards than Amy Schumer. You know, so.
Yeah.
And I think she does draw probably more than Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer is not that funny. Anyway, I guess that's enough for her. All right, so, you know, a journalist has, okay, so I know I'm going to say this because I have said this for years. But a journalist has revealed a 13-year-old photo of former President Barack Obama posing with Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from the Nation of Islam. It was kept under wraps in order to protect the president's career. Now, I guess it's Askia Muhammad snapped the photo of Obama when he was a state senator, along Minister Farrakhan doing the Congressional Black Caucus meeting in 2005. Now, I guess he was in 2005. Muhammad, who revealed the photo on Thursday, told the Edney News Service that he gave the picture up at the time and basically swore secrecy out of concern that it could have made a difference and damaged Obama's political career. But the former president was a Illinois senator at the time the photo was taken. Muhammad said that he promised and made arrangements to give the picture to Leonard Farrakhan, the minister's son-in-law and chief of staff. He said that he gave away the disc from his camera, but copied the photo from that day onto a computer file. Now, Muhammad told the site that he was afraid the photo would damage Obama politically if released, and feared the possibility of somebody breaking into his apartment to look for it. So he felt a little bit more at ease after Mr. Farrakhan said that in 2016 that Obama had visited his house in Chicago. So Muhammad contacted Mr. Farrakhan in 2017 with a final manuscript for a self-published book that contained that photo. So if you didn't see it, I actually posted the photo up. But interesting enough, I remember during the whole time of, you know, President Obama running for office and being president, I kept saying, you are slow if you believe that Obama living in Chicago, doing work in Chicago, has never met or sat down and talked to Minister Farrakhan, have bumped their heads. And apparently the only photo proof that they had came out 13 years later. That is hilarious to me. And I'm almost mad that he didn't invite Mr. Farrakhan to the White House. That's all I'm going to say because of that. Should have just. Yeah, doesn't it seem like mainstream media should be falling out right now? Like, how come we didn't know? It's because all black people don't go for money. We're not going to run to the Inquirer. It's not going to happen.
I love it.
All right. Hey, so do I. I was even just seeing that story and those pictures, I thought, that is great. All right, now this week in court, I know I haven't done this, but, you know, South Korea on Thursday filed a complaint against the United States with the World Trade Organization challenging Trump's decision to levy steep new tariffs on imported solar cells and washing machines. So, you know, LG and Samsung is South Korean companies. So we'll have to see how this goes. This is why we are probably, you know, as allies, talking noise to North Korea. South Korea is now suing the United States because of our unfair trading practices. All right.
Because
now,
of
vintage,
unfair trading, you said?
Well, you know, they put a tariff of 30% on solar panels and washing machines coming to the country.
Yes. And they're suing us for that?
Yeah. The World Trade Organization.
We're suing him for that. They're suing us.
Yes. North Korea is suing the United States with the World Health Organization. I mean, World Trade Organization. See, our treaties with other people allow us to sell their goods without tariffs, but you can't single out a country and say, but we're going to put a tariff against you. That country can turn around and put a tariff against you too. But since they have intermingling treaties as far as trade is concerned, they're violating the concept of having these regional treaty and trade agreements, right?
Yeah.
So they may even, for example, Samsung makes some things in this country now. So technically to say, oh, but your solar panels, we're going to give you a tariff against those. So they can actually say to the United States, well, you know what? If you guys are sending us, I don't know, something that's American-made, corn, we're just going to stick a tariff against that. We would sue somebody else who picked an industry and said, okay, all that other stuff is okay, but we're going to raise prices on this. So I think the story is we don't know who, you know, Whirlpool and all those other American companies are who are influencing the Trump administration, but you can't pay off your friends and help them sell more washer and dryers just by saying, hey, we're going to put tariffs on foreign washing and dryers.
Yep.
So that's where that's going to go. So anyway, they're in court. Now, vintage gaming company Atari has settled a lawsuit accusing Swiss food giant Nestle of using one of his classic video games to sell Kit Kat bars, permission of Atari. Now, I haven't watched those old Kit Kat bar commercials, but apparently they were playing their Atari in one of them. Didn't ask Atari for permission. I don't know. Does eating a Kit Kat bar make you want to play Atari? I don't know. I never had an Atari, so I don't know. All right. Now, a 15-year-old accused in a school shooting that killed two students and left 18 others bleeding and broken remains cloaked in secrecy of the juvenile court, where his initial hearing on preliminary charges of murder and assault was scheduled today, but they're not releasing the 15-year-old's name. Now, get this number. We've had, what's today? It is the 26th of January. Do you know there's been 11 shootings in this country, mass shootings in this country this year?
Yeah, I heard that on the news.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But again, if a NFL player kneels, then you have some nut in the White House talking about make those SOB stand. But you know, as these 15-year-old European kids are shooting 20 people in the school. Crickets. Nothing to see here. Business as usual.
Yeah.
All right. Two Florida lawmakers want the state to ban the conversion therapy for minors. Following the lead of several local governments that passed ordinances against the controversial practices last year. Now, I was going to make a joke about this, but I really don't know what conversion therapy is, so I'm not going to even touch that. But it seems strange that the state would have conversion therapy for minors. It just kind of reminds me of back in the days where not back in the days because I don't remember this. I just remember seeing old photos and stuff where they would take kids in old insane asylums and hook them up to machines and all of that crazy stuff to try to stop them from being crazy or something. I don't know. But that's what it sounds like when I hear somebody says conversion therapy. It's like you're going to physically restrain people or beat them or something until they do something that you want them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy. The thing that horror movies are made out of. That's what it reminds me of when you say conversion therapy. I thought they closed down a lot of those juvenile insane asylums back in the days. All right. The Justice Department, their internal watchdog announced today that they have found the missing text from the FBI agents that were removed last summer from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigative team. So all week the Republicans are going, oh my gosh, they're mixing in possibly a secret society, and they're like, oh, we found them. They're like, oh, never mind. Because they were trying to make it seem spooky, like they had something, until they found them. These guys are professional liars, which is it's something to be laughed at. You just can't really. Some of these folks, you really just can't take serious. I just want to say that for the record. Yeah, I know. It seems a little harsh, but it's just kind of one of those things we can't. We just can't let slide. That's just me. All right, now, on a subject that might be closer to Kathleen's heart, you know, curry spices will boost your memory 30%. That's what a new study found from the University of California. Now, they're saying that in turmeric as well. So they're saying the compounds that are found in Indian spice, we all know that, known as curcumin, causes people to have less protein buildup in the regions of their brains linked to memory. So your memory will increase. Now, I like ginger myself, so there's some other health benefits in there, but take your favorite spice and just do your thing. I mean, I like curry, but I'm just saying. Helps your memory. All right. Companies are attempting to profit off of the opioid epidemic by selling fake withdrawal aids to vulnerable addicts looking to recover. So the FDA sent warning letters out to 11 such pill makers on Wednesday. They will fight. Okay. So here's the thing. Not only are they distributing opioid, they're distributing fake fake like cures to it. Boy, this is America, isn't it? You can pretty much sell anything until somebody sends you a letter and go, okay, stop doing that. Who knows how much money they already made by doing it? They're just gonna slow them down from making as much money as they did before. But they know it don't work. But they're fake withdrawal aids. So if somebody's having a withdrawal symptom, they're like, hey, take this stick of gum. Let's see how this going to work out. They don't care. Huh. All right. So, yes. So images of fit toned bodies, and this is not me. This is the news story. Such such as that of Jennifer Lopez, I don't know why they love to use Jennifer Lopez for this, are all over social media, and seems that they are also changing our definition of beauty according to the University of Missouri at Kansas City. So full-figured women didn't really exist until Jennifer Lopez hit the scene, apparently. I think they're happier. It's Jennifer Lopez, y'all.
Uh-huh.
You know, I should put the I should have put the applause stuff on the board for J Lo. All right. Now, scientists at the University of Washington claim that mosquitoes can learn to associate a particular odor with unpleasant mechanical shock. So, what they're saying that now that if you're swatting away a mosquito will remember your scent, whether it's unpleasant or not, just your pheromones, and not bother you again if it's been swatted at. Now, I don't know why this survey or this findings are new, but I think I swatted away a mosquito and still got bit, but I can't tell if it's the same mosquito. But they're saying the mosquito will leave and remember that it had a hard time. I think it's kind of a – it goes with that stick of gum theory that we just talked about. I think they're just making this up. Never mind. I don't think you can swat at a mosquito and then have it dislike you. I don't think that's really how that works. All right, now – a teacher who's 25 who had sex with her student avoids jail time and gets 3 years probation. A former biology teacher, Gabrielle Bowman, has escaped her jail sentence and has instead been given 3 years probation after pleading no contest to 6 monthly relationships. To a 6 month relationship with a student. And also, a woman, 21, has revealed that her high school softball coach, 54, groomed her and lured her into a relationship when she was just 16. So Bailey Boone of California has gone public with her former Catholic high school coach, Michael Martis, who's 54. Allegedly groomed her for having relationships with him when she was just 16. All right. Now, here you go. I don't know how to move away from that fast enough there, Kathleen. I noticed that you was a little quiet, but I was like, I need to get past this story. All right. Smoking just one cigarette a day does increase heart attack and stroke risk by 50% for men and doubles the risk for women. If I'm getting my numbers correctly, so they're saying 200% in women and 50% by men. Mm-hmm. And now researchers from the university, I guess that's UCLA, must be a typo, have found that those who spoke once a day expose themselves to fully half the risk of heart disease and stroke seen in people who smoke 20 cigarettes a day. Okay. All right. And, you know, I know Elias is not on the show, but I think I'll this shout out to him. You know, cannabis as a drug slashes the risk of epilepsy, epileptic fit. I don't know why I can't say that today. Epileptic fit. By nearly 50%, according to a new study. So researchers from Massachusetts General Hospital found sufferers of the rare severe form of epilepsy are 43.9% less likely to suffer drops in seizures if they take the drug daily for 14 weeks. That would be cannabis oil if they take that for a drug. So there you have it. I thought I'd share that. Now, before we roll, Kathleen, what stories have we missed tonight? Where are we going to go? Where are we going today?
Well, I wanted to about the – I'm sorry. I watched Trevor Noah last night with doing an interview of, and I was going to say African American, but he's actually an African Canadian interview with a hockey player, a black hockey player named P.K. Stubbs, who plays for. Why do I keep wanting to mess up who he plays for? North Carolina? Who is it? Seattle? North? Where is he playing?
I have no clue.
Nashville. He plays for Nashville.
Oh, Nashville.
He plays for Nashville. So, great interview. Really interesting. And this brother just made it to the All-Star team. And so, if you have an opportunity, definitely check him out. And, of course, Trevor Noah's show gets better and better every day. I was a little concerned about it last night, though, because he did a piece on gerrymandering. And he said in his closing statement of that piece, he said, now, he showed all of the maps of gerrymandering in the various states. And he said, well, if you ask me, this is worse than Russia. This is worse than what Russia did. And if you want to talk about real election hacking, well, this is it. So I was like, you're getting a little close to Arsenio Hall here. So I was like, well, I'll be praying
for him. You got to get a little scared for him?
Yeah, I had a little scare. I had a little scare.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I did. I did. I was really concerned. I'm like, oh, because he gets rough, really, on this administration every night. But this one, when he said this, if you ask me, this is worse than Russia or anything Russia could do. If you ask me, this is election hacking right here on the shores of the United States. Well, he didn't say that part, but I was like, oh, buddy. But show is awesome. And definitely we need to be supporting the black actors and actresses who are really getting a run for a lot of shows. So I'm excited about that. So anyway, P.K. Stubbs last night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was awesome.
Oh, that's cool. And, you know, but I do want to say this about what he said about the gerrymandering part is that it is true that excuse me, the country kind of needs to deal with this concept of rigging elections, and Europeans in this country do not like to listen to this, but they need to own it, and I'm glad that he said it, because we keep acting like, you know, having long line and black people voter districts are okay. We watch this stuff happen all the time, and nothing seems to change. We're looking at with the news story we just did today or tonight about Pennsylvania stepping in saying, hey, you know what, you guys have gone too far in your rigging of the election system, and they need to own it. We need to have that conversation. And black people need to stop acting like this stuff is not going on and we should just move on and whatever. We need to stop, because nothing is going to stop, because Europeans don't really roll that way. And the reason I'm saying that in that tone, so that, you know, when you, you know, for those listeners on, I just want to say hey to everyone who's online as well. But for everyone who's listening in the archives, just so that you know, if you look at the Alabama race, who's now my poster child, at 75% of white males and 65% of white females, which is 70% of all white people in Alabama who voted, they voted for the pedophile and the racist and all of that other stuff. And regardless if they're your friends or not, and regardless on what their excuse for voting for him was, 7 out of 10 white folks don't give a rat's about what those guys are doing ethically or morally or legally if it's oppressing you. And we need to own that. We need to own that as a culture and just say, hey, you know what? If that's who you are, own it. but you don't get the benefit of doubt from any of us anymore. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that story up from Trevor Noah. But Trevor, I know he's not from America, and it doesn't mean that people externally have more heart than people who's inside of this country. It's the fact that we try to get along way too much, and we need to own it, and they need to own it. So, own that. All right,
own that.
So, Kathleen,
I have one more.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Did you talk about Black Panther already?
No, we haven't talked about Black Panther.
Yeah, so Black Panther, the movie, is starring, of course, Chadwick Boseman. Very good. Anyway, is tracking to own $100 to $120 million at the box office. Yes. Before it's even released.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah.
You know. Wait a minute. On that note, let's go on. Let's bring in Brother Sean from Syracuse. He hit one on the dial. What's up, Brother Sean?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. And you can hear me coughing in the background. And we're hanging
good.
With Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I wanted to just make a comment in regards to you guys was talking about the Monique situation.
Yeah.
Her protesting or wanting us to protest is very interesting. I heard her do an interview on Sway in the Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about the situation and how she's getting paid less. And she talks like this stuff is new. You know, I mean, they've been paying women, especially Black women, way less, you know, in every aspect of the of every discipline possible. So it's not anything new when it comes to giving money or paying Black women. So for me, listening to her talk, it's not about, I go back and I'm thinking about that statement that the former NBA player made, Derek Coleman. He said, it's not how you play the game, it's how you negotiate it. So really, when you look at it, she should do her best to negotiate, since she is most decorated comedian, as she kept saying over and over again on Sway in the Morning. If you're the most decorated, and she is, then you make sure that you get paid what you are worth, hands down. So I just wanted to make that statement because I thought that was pretty interesting, because she was pretty adamant about that situation, about how much they had offered her. And, they own Netflix. She's a commodity, and that's the way it goes. So you just got to negotiate.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that, but I also agree with what she's saying, right? So it's almost like when I hear Alonzo Ball and, you know, him talk about Big Baller Brand and stuff, and everyone says to them, well, you know what, his son can easily go to Nike or whomever, that he's like, we have a product that we want to sell. So he wants to make his own money. The problem is he has to take that directly to the people. And in Monique's case, you know, just like television is generally like all other entertainment, and we talked about media today with Megyn Kelly and NBC News and, you know, how ABC News does this, or ABC as a network, you know, when Paula Deen says something, they put them fools on Dancing with the Stars and Ryan Lochte, and they integrate them back into society where Black people get blacklisted and blackballed really quick out of the entertainment industry. She's going to directly appeal to everybody else to say, oh, you know what, I can't do this by myself. I can't negotiate that stuff anymore, because behind the scenes, she's tried, just like more, you know, a lot of Black folks have, and they're just not trying to hear them. So when you start getting locked out of systems because you don't have power, I think in Monique's case, Monique is trying to take her gripe directly to the consumer so that the consumer has a reaction. And so I'm not sure that I'm Monique's audience per se, but I hear her crying. I hear that crying out because the behind the scenes negotiating was that they'll leave Monique at the drop of a dime. But in Coleman's position, you know, like you said, as professional athletes, it is what you negotiate, and then you're locked into your contract. But you can be blackballed or blacklisted out of that industry pretty easily. So I see both sides of the point, but Monique has to do what she has to do. So I am not mad at her for taking the circuit and making noise. Now, she may not benefit from it. Like I saw another comedian talk about this, but somebody like Tiffany Haddish will. And Tiffany Haddish, she didn't feel like she had to take the Netflix deal because HBO came out and offered her a gang of money, apparently. So we definitely have to always keep in mind that with social media now, you appeal directly to the people when the people behind the scenes are unfairly doing something to you. So, you know, but
Let me go on record as saying that I think what Monique did was, it was fine. I had no problem with it. You know, I just think that we have to be very careful in how that stuff is done, because the system that they, quote unquote, that they create, we end up doing the same things over and over and over again, right?
Yes.
So we get the picket sign, we say protest, and then it dwindles down, and then it goes away. That's just my opinion, and it's just, and that's all it is just an opinion.
Yeah.
I think if Monique really wanted to, I think she was in a great position to negotiate higher than the $500,000. That's just my opinion.
I think that's how she got to five.
Yeah. I think they offer a lot lower than that.
Yeah. I think that's how she got to five, and that was the last straw. Because now, again, Wanda Sykes, who also is,
Wanda Sykes got offered less than half that.
Yeah, less than half that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So let me ask you guys a question, both of you. If you had a skill that you know that you were good at, and someone offered you X amount of dollars, but you knew that you were worth more than that, would you take that, yes or no?
Wait, say that again. If somebody offered me X amount of dollars for something,
no,
and I knew
for
I was
specific,
worth...
no, for a specific skill that you had. And if somebody offered you something, but you knew you was worth more than that, would you take it? Yes or no?
Oh, this is easy for me. I've done this a billion times.
I was just getting ready to say you. Well, I know. I know the answer.
No, I know.
Kathleen?
Not at all.
Yes, I am guilty as charged. I took the check and ran straight to the bank before it could get bounced or kicked.
Oh, God.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I did, and freaked my butt up that day, too. Yes, I did.
Right.
And said, well, thank you. I took it.
See, and that's the thing, Sean, is that I always kind of feel like, you know, there are people, it is my thought on Martin Luther King, Malcolm, Nikolai Tesla, it's why all of them die broke. I think that what happens is that standing on integrity, it does not allow you this free flow of cash when you stand on integrity. People won't pay you for integrity. They're always lowballing. People who become rich in this society steal. So if you It's the that saying that if you want to find a great wealth, there was always a great crime committed to create great wealth. But that's the moral of this country. But most of the people who do that, and that's why it's always such a bad catch-22, is because when you're young and people say, hey, don't do that, that's not ethical, and you don't want to get caught in that situation, they'll start saying crazy stuff like, hey, you know, he got loot, so technically he must be doing something right. You know, they will use that for an excuse. But sometimes you can't do that, you know.
Did Monique take the offer?
No, she did.
Okay.
And you know, you can't really compare me anyway to Monique in the situation she's in, because I don't recall anybody. I think I'm worth $500,000 too, more than $500,000 too, but nobody's even offering me that, right? One of the comedians on the Tom Joyner Morning Show said that, you know, Monique is asking us to boycott Netflix, and some people are getting a better deal. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting a better deal. They offered me $10.99 for unlimited viewing for Netflix per month. Nobody's offered me anything, actually, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but see, but that, the I guess the thing about Monique in that we're not supposed to look at life as a one for one comparison. It's an ethical question, not like because we do that like when we're younger to say, hey, if somebody offers me $1 million, I will sweep the street for it. Well, I won't sweep the street for $1 million. It just depends. So when it comes to ethics,
call me when they offer it to you, though. I'll be right there.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's fine. I'll call you and be like, Kathleen, they want you to lick the street for $1 million. So when that happens,
I thought you said sweep.
They didn't say sweep with what? See, there is fine print, Kathleen. You're an attorney. You should know this. There is always a catch. Nobody gives you that stuff. So that's all I'm saying is that anytime somebody offers something, like, it's always a thing for us to say, look, if somebody's going to try to beat you down ethically one way or another, the money sometimes isn't worth it. And I know you're joking, by the way, Kathleen, but I'm just saying that we as a, you know, as a culture, you know, and again, this is from, you know, we could do a show about history at some point, I guess, but I can tell you, European history kind of goes like this. We make a promise about something, and then we snatch it away 10 minutes later. And then as black people, as minorities, that we actually have to some point ethically start saying no, and then we have to kind of support it, right? So she's asking us to support a boycott of Netflix, which I'm not saying I agree with or not. That's not even my point. I am just saying it's okay for her to ask for that, and for the people who decide to boycott Netflix may be fans of hers. So if she has a fan following of 2 million and Netflix see 2 million subscribers just not subscribe for 2 months, that is $4 million, or I'm sorry, it's $10 a subscription. So technically, we're looking at least about $40 million that they're going to lose out on. They can get their subscription next week. So if she's only asking for if they're only offering her $500,000 and they lost $40 million that month, then who's going to win that battle? So I think you have to try, and I think we have to at some point take a shot at upsetting the apple cart, opposed to kind of looking at those guys as this is something that's unattainable for us. We have to do something. So, I understand, Sean, the hypothetical, but I know that sometimes we have to really look at digging in on principle sometimes, opposed to, I know Monique in her. Some people have made, I think it recently, I saw a story about Cheryl Underwood and Monique, because Cheryl Underwood made a comment about the fact that she is not saying that she's supporting Monique or not supporting Monique, but she said she told Monique that she needed to make up with Oprah, Tyler Perry, and whatever that other guy's name is. And
Lee Daniels,
yes. And Monique came back and said she did not say that. And you shouldn't be asking her to do that anyway. You don't use, just because you're in mainstream media, trying to broker some deal with Oprah, with Monique, like Monique's a stepchild to Oprah. Right? So that whole thing always disturbs me, but Monique seems to be in the middle of that. That always kind of gives her it. I think people intentionally try to make Monique seem like she's outside of the norm of decency. And I think that's just kind of a wrong thing.
She doesn't help it often, you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong in this particular time, but a few of the tirades that she's gone on the air, I think were just went a little too far and a little too extra. So
yeah,
I don't think some of those things help. But I'm not saying don't stand up for yourself, you know, and not to, you know, to make sure that we're not bowing down just because people don't like what we have to say. But just going a little too far sometimes with it. I did just want to mention that DeRay Davis also has a show on Netflix called How to Act Black. It's quite funny, too, by the way. But he said he commented on Twitter that he was paid $5 million for his. And certainly, you know, I say DeRay Davis, and you all might be saying, who? But
I know who he is.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he has a show, How to Act Black, and he got paid $5 million for his. Dave Chappelle got $10 million for his. And for them to offer Monique $500,000 and Wanda Sykes $250,000 or less, I do believe just comes straight down to a gender issue and black women in particular, especially since Amy Schumer got in the millions as well.
Well, Amy Schumer got hers because she complained. It wasn't that they offered. I can't remember what their offer was to Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer negotiated that because she went public and complained that she wasn't getting what Chris Rock was and Dave Chappelle. She did what Monique is doing, and they gave her more money.
Huh.
That's what happened with Amy Schumer. And so, because it was wrong for her to compare herself to them, to me, but at the same time, it was effective to get them to raise her money up. Monique did the same thing that Amy Schumer did. But now, again, Monique's critique is coming differently because black people critique black discontent differently. And the reason I mentioned Alonzo Ball in the same tone as Monique is because that whole off color or going a bit too far by both of them, it doesn't bother me so much as it bothers me that anybody cares, right? So, you know, it's us as black folks, I get it. It's like, you know, the old Price is Right or something, and a black person made it. We're all like, hey, black people, like, we all do that. And when black people do something, we feel embarrassed for the black person on TV, like all of us do. But when somebody is showing their butt because they've been wrong, I have a tendency of not taking that personally, because if that's how she's choosing to go out, I'm going to respect that, because nobody is we don't know what's going on behind the scenes that's making her finally just flip, just saying, look, I'm done. So, you know, I just happen to look at it from a distance and just kind of think, oh, I wonder what happened to Monique. And then she'll get to explain a little bit later. But I'm not embarrassed for it, and I don't feel like she should speak to Oprah any nicely. Oprah's nobody special that you can't say something discontent to Oprah if Oprah says something wrong to you. Like I don't believe that at all. So Oprah is not God Oprah, and we need to really stop doing that. So, and that's for me. So whatever to your letters and comments, if you want to send those to the trash directly, just send them there, because I'm not reading that. But I mean, that's just my thought on that. All right, so on that note, see, now that I messed up the whole show today, Brother Sean, is there any other stories? You know, I know we kind of went a mile on that. Was there another
I just want to make a comment on LeVar Ball. You mentioned LeVar Ball. I think the difference between LeVar Ball and Monique, well, you were actually talking about his temperament, I guess, and not really about the product that he has. I agree with LeVar Ball wholeheartedly, starting his own brand and wanting to push that product out there for his son and for his family. I think that's awesome.
Yep, I agree. I agree. I have no complaints about him, and anybody who complains about him to me is falling on deaf ears. Deaf ears. Kathleen, what else did I miss? I forgot you. I think there was another story, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so too. I can't remember it either, but I did want to just say, I was sick over the last week, so I spent an awful lot of time watching Netflix.
You said watching Netflix?
So, uh-huh. Watching Netflix. That was before I heard about the boycott, but either way. Anyway, so I did want to say that if anybody missed Queen of Catway with Lupita and David Oyelowo, it was incredible. If you missed it, please find it somewhere. I'm not going to tell you to go on Netflix. Go wherever. And get a hold of it, pick it up, Walmart, whatever. It was an excellent, excellent movie. And I think it's one of those that went unsung. And I really, you know, I know it did get some nods, but not enough. So I did want to say that. And, you talked about the Academy Award nomination?
No, sure didn't.
Oh,
I don't even have a list of them, so I'll have to get a list of them and we'll have to talk about
it. But there were a lot more black actors and movies that were nominated this time. So they worked on that Oscar's So White this time. So it did
make
a bit of a change, right?
The hashtag didn't make it back this year, did it?
It did not.
Okay.
But,
yeah, I didn't see
any
of the nominations.
Last thing, Tiffany Haddish, she was one. Mm-hmm. She presented one of the awards, and everyone was saying that she was incredibly funny, but people didn't really talk about it. So GMA did a spot on her saying that they weren't saying much about her because she was too funny. So I thought that was really interesting. And GMA did that whole spot, I think it was yesterday. So, you know, if you can catch that online too. So on that note, I'll write down my stuff next time so I can be quicker with it. But thank you for the opportunity to share. It's good talking to you all.
Wait a minute. So they said that she was too funny?
Too
funny. Was that a complaint?
They were acknowledging that she was being snubbed because she was too funny.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So, in other words, funnier than the host, funnier than, you know, she was just too funny. And they felt like, you know, she was being snubbed a little bit on the as one of the presenters for the Academy Awards. So, you know, maybe we'll get to see her being the host of one of the shows next time, because she did a great job in just a few minutes she was up there.
Oh, right, because Jimmy Kimmel is back, right? Who's not that funny. All right, on that note, I was going to say, I guess we'll have to check that out. Thanks again for tuning in, and thanks for hanging out, Brother Sean. and Kathleen for and me for dragging her in. So we'll see you guys again next week for Esprit Nando's. We'll holla.
Holla.
All right, guys.
Good night.
Good night.